four-day run. He'll talk about the convergence of cable, telephone, and information superhighway industries, where he thinks Microsoft is going to be in all that mix. Lotus Development is running out a new 1-2-3 spreadsheet for the DOS system. It'll be version 4, and it will look a lot like 1-2-3 for Windows. In most features, though, won't be enough to make the new DOS release popular in international markets that go for Windows and OS 2, so this one will be released only in the English language. Release 4 for DOS, according to Lotus, enhances 1-2-3 in four key areas. Ease of use, a highly graphical user interface with most elements of the Windows interface, the version manager, and integrated mail enabling. You'll also get a quick start tutorial, spell checker, a cell notepad that lets you attach a comment to any spreadsheet cell, and a column fit widest command for adjusting column widths instantly. Lotus also says the context-sensitive help system is more task-oriented to provide step-by-step answers to commonly asked questions, and users can print out help messages if they so choose. Improper placement of computer monitors may cause the debilitating hand and arm injury known as carpal tunnel syndrome that affects thousands of computer workers each year. This, according to some experts who specialize in computer workstation ergonomics. One author is going so far this week as to say constant strain on the neck from viewing improperly placed monitors 40 hours a week could cause CTS even if the computer user never types a single word. This kind of repetitive strain injury is defined as a crushing or pinching of the median nerve passing through the wrist-located bone and ligament tube called the carpal tunnel. Classic CTS symptoms are pain, numbness, and tingling in the hand. The University of California Berkeley Wellness Letter says the tingling and numbness can progress to a weakened grip and severe pain, and when that happens, the nerves can die, and even surgery will not necessarily help you. Struggling Borland International, which already says it'll report a substantial loss for the fiscal fourth quarter and year-end results, now says it'll report a loss for the coming first quarter, too, despite the $145 million it expects to get from the sale of QuattroPro to Novell, which will probably be finalized this quarter. Borland is also stalling the release of its earnings report for the year until June 2nd. The company says the announcement of its results for fiscal 94, which ended on March 31st, would occur later than expected, because of complexities associated with the sale of QuattroPro to Novell. Thousands of aftershocks later, earthquake victims in Southern California are still picking up the pieces, but the California Governor's Office is implementing the Apple Newton Message Pad, some specialized software and a global positioning system using orbiting satellites to help speed damage assessment and assistance. They say 100 OES assessment teams but outfitted with specially designed systems being exhibited by Apple Computer at the Government Technology Conference this week in Sacramento. A book has been introduced listing the Internet addresses of famous people, called Email Addresses of the Rich and Famous. The book lists the addresses of such celebrities as Ed Asner, President Clinton, Bill Gates, Ross Perot, Tom Brokaw, MTV's Adam Curry, novelist Anne McCaffrey, and author Charles Grodin, among many others. Supposedly written as, in the words of its author, a hoot to give online users an opportunity to touch the rich and famous and have a good time. And that's Computer News. You're listening to Soundbites. Listening to Soundbites on WXXI 1370 Rochester, WEOS FM 89.7 in Geneva. I'm Bob Smith with Nick Francesco and Dave Enright in our studio. Steve Ray, soon to come, I do believe. Dial 263 WXXI, area code 716, or call America Online at Soundbites, that's all one word, or on the internet, soundbites@AOL.com. You'll get expert advice on all your computing questions. And, gentlemen, before we begin, I was just thinking of one thing, and that is the one-size-fits-all computer. That, of course, what we were talking about at the very beginning of the program, the possibility that soon all the power PCs will be able to gobble up all of the main operating systems, or at least most of them, like Mac, like Windows, like OS 2 and all the rest.
Unix.
Unix, presumably. I mean, they'll all be in there. That's going to really blur the lines, won't it? I mean, one-size-fits-all computing means everybody can play, doesn't it?
Well, yes and no. I don't think there will ever really be one-size-fits-all computing for a couple of different reasons. First, Microsoft won't allow it. They will put something in their systems that won't let it run.
Bill Gates won't have it in his house.
That's exactly right.
It doesn't do Windows.
That's exactly right. So as far as that's concerned, you won't see that. You'll need at least two operating systems. But
Bill Gates and the other.
Right. But what you can get very easily nowadays is to have a multi-boot system. When the system boots, instead of coming up in an operating system, it comes up to a menu. And you choose the operating system you want to run now. Now, given my druthers, at the moment, it would be great to run something like a Power Mac, where you can just double-click on an icon and bang, you're in Windows. Double-click on an icon, bang, you're in a DOS session. Double-click on an icon, bang, you're in a Mac program. So for something like that, it's great. They're saying that the new levels of these operating systems will also run Unix programs and everything else, and that should be kind of interesting. But it'll be more interesting to see how compatible. You know, 95% compatible is not...
Yeah, 95% compatible can be 0% compatible in practice.
Well, right, 95% compatible doesn't mean it runs 95% of the programs. It means it runs every program 95%.
And then you come down to the reality of it all. How much is it going to cost?
That's right.
I mean, there's where the rubber hits the road, folks. And determines whether folks are just going to be flooding the market to get this new hot toy that you can't do without it, or it just becomes shelfware on, you know, local display.
That's right. And the real question is, what are you going to do with your machine? It always comes back to that. If you don't need to run Windows programs, don't bother to buy the product that lets you run Windows. If you don't need to run Unix programs, don't bother to buy the piece that lets you run Unix programs.
Well, then you got to do without all the salespeople. Because they're the ones that sit like you know, and being the next salesperson, you gotta have it, folks. You just
gotta have the toys.
You can't do it.
But more importantly, you're right about the sales thing. Bill Gates, the Microsoft juggernaut, is going to sell a lot of Cairo and a lot of Chicago. Will it be the best operating system in the world? It doesn't matter. The juggernaut of the sales force will get it out there and everybody will have it.
In other words, it'll be the best marketed operating system in the world.
Exactly right.
How well they hype it.
Yep.
Why we need to slap somebody at IBM upside the head in just a little bit, but first, let's go to the phones.
Ooh, we're getting
263-WXXI. And this is an affectionate comment, by the way. But 263-WXXI, or join us at America Online at Soundbites, or on the internet, soundbites@AOL.com. Either way, we'd love to hear from you on this edition of Soundbites. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, guys. It's Chuck from Greece.
Hi, Chuck.
I've got a problem with Winfax 3.
Oh, 3.
Yeah.
Tell us more, Chuck.
I can get the fax back from Logitech.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get any fax backs from HP or Delrina itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I called them, and they don't know what's going on either. They sent me their... Mine was dated May 93, and they sent me the November version. It still doesn't work.
Are you using a high-speed modem?
Well, that's what I'm... It's a GVC 14.4, and it's... I don't know, it's supposed to be high-speed. But
yeah. My experience with WinFax Pro... was one with the version 3. They're up to version 4 now.
Right.
But version 3, there was a patch that you had to go up on CompuServe and download, for the, which did a patch for various modems and connecting to other fax machines, whether it be actual fax machines or boards, because there was a lot of times the handshaking just got messed up and they couldn't handle it. And they just sit there and wind up hanging up and never got the connection.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, I go through, it says I'm just at 96, but I can never get a 14.4 anyplace.
Yeah, but the better one on top of that is some of them would even say that the fax was completed.
And nothing was there.
Right. You got it.
But so, I would definitely talk to Delrina about getting the patch or an upgrade.
Oh, they didn't say anything about a patch. That's
there is a patch on American Online. There's an area called Delrina, and on CompuServe.
I'm looking at that right now, and there's nothing in there about DOS at all or Windows. It's just Mac stuff that's in there.
If you go back to Delrina and you look for the WinFax Pro 3.0 forum within American Online, there is a form there, and you can download the patch for it. You're going to have to go through quite a few of the files, because now everybody's trying to worry about version 4.
Mm-hmm.
But go in there and scale through some of the old files, and you'll see the patches for version 3.0.
Okay.
For the modem.
All right, is there any... Now, the COM ports in Windows affect that at all or not? I mean, the setup on those things?
Can, but if you're getting them from one place...
Yeah,
you should be getting them from others, so the problem is more likely in the hardware or the software patch rather than in the Windows COM port, because that'll remain constant for you.
Because I have fax from a fax machine to my modem, to my computer here.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it works.
Definitely download the patch.
Okay. You don't know what it's called, though, right?
Say modem patch for in the description says modem patch for WinFax Pro 3.0.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
And thank you very much for calling. We'll take another call right now. Hi, you're on the air on Sound Bites.
Hi, this is Vince from Greece.
Hi, Vince.
I have an Epson Equity 2 Plus. It's a 286 PC. And here's what's happened. It wasn't reading the date and time properly.
Mm-hmm.
I printed the parameters out. I said, well, what the heck? I'll use the Epson setup system to replace the parameters when I replace mm-hmm. the battery.
Yep.
So I replaced the battery, and I ran setup,
mm-hmm.
Found out it doesn't boot the C drive. It says to run the setup again. Do I need to reformat the drive? And because it was originally set up as a C and D drive. Is there a book someplace on how to solve this problem?
Let's see. If I remember correctly, the Equity 2 is when you go back in there, you're putting in that you got the date, you got the memory correct?
Yes. Everything is correct on the parameters.
In other words, they're the same as they were before.
Correct. I printed those out before I replaced the battery.
And what is or isn't it doing for you now?
Well, it doesn't boot up on a C drive. It just says run setup again. It doesn't recognize
something isn't quite correct there.
Hmm.
Because if everything was exact, you know, it should just boot right on up. I mean, all you have to be is one byte off in the memory, or, you know, if you transpose the number, you know, it could find a mismatch.
The thing is, it's not just the date and time and that stuff. It's also the hard drive parameters.
Yeah.
Right, right.
You have to make sure that you have each and every one of those numbers correct.
I see, yeah, when I print out the parameters, one of the parameters was hard drive type. I said type 17 before, so I put that in too.
That should work.
So then when I go back and run setup again, all the parameters are there. But it doesn't boot up on the C drive at all.
And what's the error message?
Run setup again.
That's it? It doesn't give you any clue?
Nope.
Yeah, so like I said, usually it can be as quirky as just finding, go in and physically, if you can, rechange all those parameters again. It might be confused and doesn't think that you really changed something.
Oh.
Yeah, definitely give that a try.
I did that.
Reset them all a second time?
Yep.
And I'm stumped then.
Nope. I mean, yep.
Yep. Yeah, I'm stumped. I cannot imagine what else it could have been.
Would one option possibly be to reformat the hard drive?
You shouldn't have to.
And if you can't you can't even get the DOS to do that.
Mm. It doesn't come up in DOS at all. It won't see DOS.
Right, right. And you shouldn't have to do that.
No.
Have you tried booting with a DOS floppy disk and see if you can see the hard drive?
I tried booting with the DOS startup disk.
And does it?
And it doesn't. It doesn't show me the C drive at all.
You get a device invalid message, or
did you also? One thing you might want to check to make sure is that you didn't knock any of the cables loose.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, you know, if one of those cables came even slightly loose, it won't see the hard drive, and it won't boot, and it'll sit there and just, you get the flashing cursor up in the left-hand corner,
mm-hmm.
and nothing will happen.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's just lost somehow or another the idea whether it's the drive maybe bad, or this card might have come loose, the cables, you might want to check those, that something in the seating or positioning of it is, it's just not getting recognized, or it's maybe the power cable might not be hooked down there tight, and it's not spinning up the drive, so it doesn't see the hard drive.
Can you hear it spin at all?
No.
You don't hear it spin?
I don't hear it spin, but I can run system diagnostics. And I ran like a 6 or 7 hour hard drive, seek and search thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it recognized that. It will run all of my system tests that I asked for, the screens, and everything else, the keyboard, et cetera. That all runs fine.
Okay. So you can hear it performing the test on the hard drive?
Correct.
So it is seeing it, but... I'm really stumped. You hit call Epson. I know, believe it or not, I ran into this problem a long time ago, and it's just not clicking with me. It's a quirk. And like I say, it's just not coming to my brain right now. But give them a shot.
Okay,
thank you very much for calling us.
We might even have a number for us.
Yeah, hold on. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Nick's pulling out the famous reference.
The famous PC ref.
Epson America Incorporated, 1-800-289-3776. And the technical number, which is probably what you should call, is 1-800-922-8911. That's 800-922-8911.
The number and they own.
And call us. Thanks for calling. Good luck.
Let us know how you do next week, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay, but because there are a lot of those machines around this radio station, we're going to be curious to find out what happens with that.
Like, see, I've run into it, but it's like I'm drawing a blank right now. My mind is...
263 WXXI, our number. We got an off-air call that's rather interesting. Caller wants to know how to post a message that will be read by all the bulletin boards in town and appear on all the bulletin boards. He happens to use Crystal Palace. Is there a way to do that? I would think trying to go through FidoNet or something.
Well, yes
work,
and
right?
No, it can be done. There are a number of echoes or conference areas or message areas. Every board has a different name for them. That are available on each of the boards in town. Some of those will be available to all the boards in town via FidoNet. Some of them will be limited only to the system that you're on. First, you need to know which that is. The second thing you would then have to do is post a message in one of the systems that's read by everybody to all. And then it will go out to each of the systems that gets that echo, and it will be available for anyone to read. Now, there are a couple of other caveats. No system in town gets every echo. So you're not going to hit everybody. That's thing one. Thing two is that not everybody is going to read an announcement to all. Thing three is that it depends on what kind of an announcement you're sending out. Most of the sysops really kind of frown on junk mail. If you're sending out a, hey, I suddenly find myself being a programmer and you want to hire me for the summer, there are specific echoes for that. There is a jobs echo. If you find that it's a general purpose message, great, send it out on it. Just one, maybe, maximum two different echoes. But don't hit all the echoes, because then you're really going to pork people off.
Is Rochester Talk still running? That sort of died off last night I was reading it.
Yeah, it's still chugging along, but...
Its purpose was a single message area for everybody in Rochester to chat.
Right, I don't know how many people really read it, but that would be your right place to put it.
Okay, good luck, and let us know how you do. 263-WXXI, 263-9994 is the number. It just so happens, Steve Ray, I will pass this along before we go to the break here. Steve Ray has handed me the Playboy June 1994 issue.
I actually bought it to read an article.
Swampland for you, too. I read the article, my wife looks at the pictures.
Featuring Jenny McCarthy, the Playmate of the Year. But enough about peripherals. Let's talk about an article called Confessions of an Internet Junkie. Well, she logged onto the superhighway, streeted to the smartest, sexiest, weirdest all-night party in the nation, and now there's only one problem, getting home.
You know what fascinates me about this? The sex stuff on the Internet is probably 0.1% of the entire system. But it's the only thing anybody talks about, and there are a couple of reasons for that. One, it's the only thing that most reporters understand. Secondly, it's the only thing that's really easy to explain to other people. And thirdly, it's sensational. So it's real easy to talk about. Ooh, I logged on the internet and somebody propositioned me. Well, hello, they're probably 6,000 miles away. Not that big a deal.
Well, get a clue. I have followed, at least reading the frequently asked questions list for a couple of the groups. The Alt Sex Wizards is an interesting group to read.
You can't get to that through AOL's internet gate.
Yeah, they probably censor that one.
Yeah, right.
But it gets very technical and very medical. It isn't supposed to be arousing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a frank discussion of techniques, mostly.
Yep. I saw a great cap. Some guy had a cap today that said, "I heart carefully." I like it.
With that thought, and a reminder, coming up, Inquiring Minds want to know about Billionaire Billy. We're going to take a break on this edition of Sound Bites on WXXI and WEOS FM. Right now, our fearless leader, Bud Lowell, is with us right now, our AM program director here on WXXI 1370, and he has a message about another number that he would very much like you to call, and that, in fact, we would all like you to call, so we can keep coming to you. Bud, what's the message?
Well, speaking of peripherals, we need your support if we're going to keep producing sound bites and operating the station, the entire thing. We have a large sum of money we have to raise every year, and for this 3 minutes here in Sound Bites, we're going to talk to you about that and about the way we raise it. The way we raise it is by going right to you. We know that there are some of you out there who can't imagine listening to another radio station, and those are the people we want to talk to you right now, who love the particular blend of news, of information, of great information, the type you get here on Soundbites, for getting your system tuned up and working properly. I've been going through all of these things since February when I finally joined the 20th century and got myself a PC. my wife loves it when I say got myself a PC, so I shouldn't,
okay.
I shouldn't say that, because anytime I want to use it, I always have to like elbow her out of the way. Anyway, 454-6300 is the number. If you're one of the people who takes a little bit of responsibility for your life, if you're the kind of person who doesn't just take radio for granted and doesn't just take the radio airwaves for granted, why not call up and consider becoming a member of WXXI at 454-6300 or 800-295-WXXI, because that kind of provides the fuel for the engine. We get the dollars directly from you to produce this program, to pay, of course, the send a limousine for all of these guys and bring them down to the station,
the champagne,
of course, the private jet.
We don't do that. Look at it. Why'd you say he drives by my house and misses me?
Yeah, Dave's just still coming in his Bronco. We don't.
And let's not forget, now we have to have, because of this, the soundbite subscription to Playboy, right?
So if you don't want that Bronco towed away, call now 454.
Please, I need a ride home. And I have to say something. Last time we did this, nobody.
It was
called
crazy. What?
I was embarrassed. I was personally embarrassed. You know, I think basically you'll decide whether or not to pledge depending on how much you think this show is worth to you. And that's fair. But the point is, nobody thought this show was worth anything last time, apparently. Nobody called. Until the end of the show when I embarrassed people.
Yeah.
Six people called in. That was it. Please, if you feel that this show is worthwhile to you,
even a
call
few
in.
Bucks.
It takes less than 2 minutes. All you have to do is call in. The crack volunteers over by the phones will lead you through a very simple process. There are lots of different membership levels, or you can make up your own. As I keep saying, call in and pledge 1% of the cost of your system. You got $6,000 worth of system? Give us $60. You got $3,000 worth of system? Give us $30. It's all we're asking to keep this show on the air.
Yeah, don't be an airwaves thief. 454-6300.
And it's not like we're charging a 900 number for their answers. I mean, right. Each week we give out countless.
Well, that's the problem. Every single one of you out there who has shareware that keeps bringing up that nag screen and you don't pay for it, and you know who you are, make yourself feel good, call in here.
This is an unregistered copy of Soundbox.
It will infect your whole machine.
We're not worms, don't worry. And now back to the show.
We are back.
The worms, but it's a different story.
We are back. It's Soundbites on WXXI and WEOS FM. Just before I get back to the phones, Here's an off-air question. Inquiring minds want to know. Does anybody want to comment on Bill Gates' appearance on television the other day? Didn't have a chance to see it. Love to hear about it.
I have it on tape.
Oh, I'd love to borrow that tape. What was he on? What was he on for?
Connie Chung.
Oh, man, I never watched it.
Well, I was channel surfing and caught her teaser saying, now coming Bill, because they did a thing on the Flintstones right after Bill Gates, which is kind of
funny. That I would have tuned in to.
No, he reminds me more of Barney Rubble, frankly, but I mean, think about it. But anyway, what about Bill Gates?
It was a really interesting interview and showed off some of the corporate environment inside Microsoft. And one of the things that I have heard about Bill Gates and came across in this interview is that he does seem to be a spoiled little brat who wants everything his way.
Oh, there's news.
Yeah. They had the cameras on a meeting with product managers and apparently discussing some software they're developing. And Gates was really nailing on this one guy for what a stupid idea that was. And you didn't understand a thing I was saying. And how can you be so stupid? And then they were cutting away to these little clips during the interview. And Connie asked him, you know, why were you berating that person? So, I don't berate people. I berate ideas. Looked like
yeah, right.
Berating the person to me.
Right, it's easy to say one thing. But,
yeah. But it got near the end of the interview, and he said something in fact, I'm done, no more questions. And he got up, ripped his mic off, and started climbing over cameras to get out of the office. They had three cameras set up and lights everywhere and crew mm-hmm. behind the scenes to get out of the office because he was done. And Connie just had one more question. She didn't get to the FTC question.
Right, that's why he left.
Right, because he knew it was coming. So they had some interesting interviews with Philippe Kahn at Borland and what's his name, the president of Stack, over the lawsuit that Stack just won against Microsoft.
Yep.
Of course, Bill says the appeals process is a wonderful thing, and I'm sure we'll be vindicated. They were comparing competing with Microsoft like a knife fight in the streets of New York because of Microsoft's power in the industry. And Gates' response to that was, "I can't believe they're so stupid. All we do is write software, put it in a box, and let people buy it. What's the harm in that?"
Oh, I misunderstood.
Oh. Well, on that sympathetic note, let's go back to the phone. 263-WXXI, area code 716, and good afternoon. You're on the air on Soundbites, and thanks for waiting. Go ahead, caller, you're on.
Hi, this is Paul from Webster.
Hey, Paul.
I don't know how I'm going to follow Playboy and Bill Gates, but I'm going to give it a shot. I have a 386 PC with about 8 meg of RAM, and we're currently considering putting on a database. We don't have any right now. And what we want to use it for is for a bunch of articles and abstracts, and we want to be able to, key in on authors, dates of articles, etc. But the other thing that we would like to be able to do is have a text search function. Is there any database around there that would be good for that, or?
Ask Sam.
Yeah.
Sam?
Yeah, Ziff Davis, and I'm sure IDG also, sells their own CD database of all of their periodicals that
right.
You do text searches on.
Yeah, we've done that, and, that's the type of software we'd like to have
right.
with our own.
There are a couple of products that do text searches. One, and I don't even know if it's sold anymore. I haven't seen it for a while. It's called Ask Sam.
Yeah, no,
and
they're
it's a
very,
database.
Yeah, matter of fact, they are both Windows and DOS-based. You can get
right.
either version.
DOS-based is faster. The big thing to remember is that if you're doing text search, you probably have to do some sort of indexing.
Sure.
And if you do the indexing, then you're going to find that it takes a lot of space.
Sure.
And so you best make sure that you have plenty of disk space.
Okay.
That's the big thing. Ask Sam will do it. There is also Magellan used to do it. Magellan did great text searching. Of course, Magellan, I don't believe, is on the market anymore, but definitely Ask Sam. Go check it out. It's a good product.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling. We take another call right now. And hi, you're on the air on Soundbites.
Hi, this is John from Rochester. How are you doing?
Hey, John, how are you doing?
Great. I ran into a similar problem that the guy had with when he changed his disk drive. He's got to run FDisk and tell the machine to reset up the DOS partition.
On equity, on the equity?
I don't know about on an equity, but I ran it on a DOS machine.
Yeah, no, all he did was change the battery. And normally on any typical machine, when you change a battery, you should not have to do the F-disk.
Okay.
Again, because the F-disk is going to reset up the partition tables, and then you're going to have to reformat.
I didn't have to reformat when I did mine. Because what I did on mine is I transferred everything from a C drive to a D drive, and then took the D drive and put it back in the C drive space. Okay.
Matter of fact, I think if you do F-disk forward slash MBR.
Right. MBR?
Yeah. Yeah. Master Boot Record.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might be what you want to try looking into.
Those are very unique machines.
Okay.
Equities.
Yeah, that's the problem. They're very strange, and it's hard. It's hard without sitting and pounding at it for a while.
Well, anytime you get into a proprietary motherboard, I mean, they've got all their own little quirks that some of them even I've run into, which is very uncommon in most PCs. If you go to unhook, say, the simple thing like a keyboard or a mouse, if that comes loose, it'll pop a little pico fuse on the motherboard. You have to take the whole thing apart and replace this $5 fuse.
You're kidding.
No, it's just a little tiny thing. That's just, if the mouse happens to come loose while the unit is on, it blows the whole machine, will not boot, or anything else.
Oh.
You got to go in and replace this darn little pico fuse.
Okay.
It's pain in the butt.
Wow, that's a pretty bad design.
Yeah.
Okay, very good then.
Hey, thank you very much for calling.
Yes, good day, guys.
Okay, take it easy now. By the way, I want to pass along a message that came in online from Gary. And he wanted to call attention once again to ACM's APL language, SIG Apple Interest Group. It's going to be getting together this coming Wednesday night at 7:30 in the cafeteria, Building 335 at Xerox Webster. And if you'd like any further information, Gary Dennis wants us to pass along his telephone number, 256-6466, during business hours. The APL folks are getting together to try to form an interest group, or as he refers to them, rabid APL crazoids need all the help we can get.
You know, it might be a good point for folks, Bob, to, if they would, to send to you on AOL soundbites any of the user groups that meet so we could compile a list and have it here so each month when we do go through the various user groups, we can run down the whole list, and then this way folks won't miss out on it.
In addition, more and more of the BBSs in town are carrying the soundbites Echo. And
there
if you post a message there, many more people will begin reading it.
And we're delighted. We watch, we lurk all the time, and we'll be delighted to pass along information on that from your organization to facilitate you getting started with a user group or whatever. Incidentally, if you want to communicate with us for any reason, dial up 263-WXXI, area code 716, to get on the air directly, or online on America Online. The address is Soundbites, and on the Internet, soundbites at AOL.com. By the way, just before we get back to the phones, I said something earlier about wanting to slap somebody at IBM upside the head. I better explain right now.
Yeah, you said affectionate.
It's affectionate for one reason. They got some neat products. The ThinkPad line is a wonderful line of notebook computers. I've said that before. I put my money where my mouth was in that regard, too. But here they go. They're back-ordered on the 350 and 750 models, and they're updating them and changing them again to the 360 and 755. That's great. Guys, please, solve the backorder problem so that everybody who's waiting for his machine can have one. Please.
I agree with that completely.
Please. These are wonderful machines. There's a reason why they're backordered, why everybody wants them. But, guys, please.
It's like we said.
Do the orders.
It's like we said before. It's all in marketing.
Right.
Right.
Marketing.
And I tell you, I love that little eraser mouse mover thing. I really like it. I've seen the new Apple PowerBooks with the little touch thing. The trackpad. I don't like it as much. First, it doesn't go the whole screen. And second, no, it doesn't.
Well, it did when I was playing with it.
The two I tried didn't. I had to, hit it two or three times to get across the whole screen.
Well, then you open your trackpad control and tell it. Longer distance.
We did that. It was down as far as it would go. Maybe it was just these two models. But also, I don't like the fact that there's this whole wrist rest thing. I don't rest my wrist on the keyboard because that's bad for you. Never rest your wrist while you're typing. Always keep it upright. Keep your wrist straight. That'll prevent carpal tunnel syndrome or RSI, repetitive syndrome, RSI.
And what do you think about that new study this week, by the way, that says the carpal tunnel syndrome has nothing to do with your wrist position at all, but it's the monitor position? I don't know
it's
how they
figured
that
out. It's all of it
out.
Together.
Really?
It's
the strict definition of carpal tunnel syndrome is when the tendons in your arm going to your hand are passing through the carpal tunnel in your wrist. And if the tendons...
Well, they always do that. Well, yeah, when the tendons swell
from constant use,
they pinch the nerve.
There are many different forms of repetitive stress in injuries that are not carpal tunnel, but are still just as hazardous to work health.
Well, 263-WXXI, let's go back to the phones. And hi, you're on the air on Sound Bites. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, this is Max. I'm calling from Greece.
Hi, Max.
Hi. I just moved here from Colorado.
And welcome.
Why? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
And I'm looking for bulletin board numbers.
Oh, can we help you out with that?
We got a few.
There's a couple hundred you can try.
Well, yeah, if you want to try out with PC Cube with 13 CD-ROMs online, it's 723-8489.
Right. And the Frog Pond BBS is 461-1924. And that's more oriented toward messaging than it is toward files. But give both of those a call. And in fact, on the Frog Pond, you will find a file in the telecommunications section that lists all the BBSs in town.
Right.
In the Frog Pond?
On the Frog Pond, 461-1924.
On most of the bulletin boards.
Right. Yeah, most of the bulletin boards in town will have it.
PC Cube's got one, too. And it not only includes Rochester area bulletin boards, but a lot of out-of-town ones, too, from all over the country.
Right.
And I know there is another one, Logan's Run, that specializes in compiling exhaustive lists.
That's the one we all have. Tracy Logan, God bless him, actually does this. Tracy, in all respect, I have to say you're a little nuts. Compile this list every month, and he checks it to make sure it's right. God bless him. Every month
he calls every number on the list to make sure there's still a computer there.
Yeah, that's what you call a bit short of a full disk.
Okay, so what's the number for that one?
The number for Tracy Loeb Ford is,
well,
I think it's
in my dialing directory.
I think it's 328-2814, but I'm not sure.
Well, he moved recently.
That's the new one. The best thing to do is download
on any of our boards. You'll find a program, a file called the Logan List, and that is Tracy Logan's list, and you'll find his board listed on it.
Okay. All right. What I'm interested in is being able to connect up with the Internet.
You can do that on almost all the boards in town. Like, for example, on the Frog Pond, you will automatically be on the Internet, and you have an Internet address. If you send a file from Netmail, which on the Frog Pond is area number 20, and you put in the address for the person, their Internet address,
right,
it will then come back and ask you for a node address. The secret node address number is 333. And if you put in the secret node address, there's only thousands of people listening.
Right.
333 is the secret internet node address number. So you put in the to field, you put the real internet address. And then when it comes back and asks you for the node address, you put 333. Then you just type in your message as normal, and it will go out over the internet. It may take a couple hours to get there.
Right.
Depending on the timing of when you send it. But it will go out over the Internet that way.
Right.
And that's the way the Frog Pond works, and most of the other BBSs in town work the same way.
One of the nice things about the Logan List is, in addition to phone numbers, he also lists the specialties of each board, whether they do Star Trek or genealogy or whatever. And so that's nice that you can look up a bulletin board by subject area, too.
For Star Trek genealogy.
True.
Which is very specialized.
Oh, absolutely.
A history of the future.
And Sarek begets Spot, begets...
Well, let's not get into that right now.
Anyway, and one more thing. If you have a commercial online service like America Online or CompuServe, you have your own internet messaging connection. And, of course, in the case of America Online, you've got a chance to get into the Usenet news groups as well.
How do I get onto that?
Your address is just your screen name at AOL.com.
What Macworld and I believe PC World also this month are in the newsstand issues only.
Right.
Have a free America Online disk.
Right.
You can also get...
Where is this? What was that?
Macworld and PC World.
Magazine.
Right.
Right.
Right. They're shrink-wrapped with an America Online entry disk.
And most of the magazines will have a mail-back card to get a free America Online subscription. connection software.
If you're buying new hardware from any one of a number of manufacturers, you're going to get it installed anyway. Mm-hmm. So many, lots of ways to get out.
You also find that many of the bulletin boards do carry some of the Usenet groups, and Max Last Stand, which is 247-9056, carries several hundred of them. So it's just a matter of wading through the message bases to find which one you want to write into.
Right.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for calling. And I tell you what, let's take a short pause right now on Soundbites on WXXI and WEOS-FM. When we get back, more of your questions and more answers.
And 454-6300, 800-295-WXXI is another number that we want you to remember right now. And we want you to think about the value of public radio and the kind of information you're getting right here. I got a question. Dave, what do you charge by the hour to go to somebody's house and unscramble their PC? That's a loaded question.
Most listeners probably couldn't afford it.
But you're coming right into their home right now and giving them that information.
Exactly.
And they're getting it essentially for nothing. And we hope that you'll return the commitment we've made, the trust that we have in you to put this product out here and let you take advantage of it. We hope you'll return that by making a call and returning some dollars to the station so that we can keep on doing
Absolutely.
It. We got a transmitter here soaking up 5,000 watts all the time it's running. It takes money to run it. We got lights, we got air conditioning and heat, we got phone lines in the production of this program. The engineer, the production people, they all have to get paid. It all takes money, and that money comes from you at 454-6300, 800-295-WXXI.
And the good news is, Bud, I do believe you've got some folks to thank.
We got some folks to thank.
Yes! All right!
First of all, we got a challenge from a Green Apple, a new Mac user, John Dibble of Rochester, who's phoned in and wants everybody else who's just starting up with a Mac to pledge at least $5. He is challenging them, so Green Apples are challenged to phone in. And,
call in now. Steve will personally thank you.
There you go.
Hey, come on. How about some Windows guys, too? We'll thank
you, thanks,
too.
Thanks to Mr. Dibble for helping to make this program possible right now. Joseph Gabriel of Brockport has phoned in. Donald E. Halstead of Geneseo heard from. C. Richard Jones of Hidden Valley Road in Rochester. Steve Murphy down on Chilai Avenue listening this afternoon and phoned in a new membership. Fantastic. We've got, let's see, that looks like
Joel Durham.
Joel Durham. Okay, Fairport. Good to hear from you in Fairport, Joel. Jack Metzger of Fairport has also phoned in, loves sound bites. Evelyn Wilk of East Avenue in Rochester loves sound bites. And we also thank Paul Fetter of Down on Oxford.
All right.
Yeah,
much better.
Much better. You made our
day.
You guys
thank
are doing
you very much.
Guys, you're doing great. Let's keep up the good work.
Keep calling and tell us whether you use a PC or a Mac. Let's see who's really listening.
Let's
really
keep religion out of it. 454-6300. 800-295.
Separation of church and state, you know.
We believe in Gates, the Father Almighty, maker of...
Yeah, but one thing folks got to really realize, though, is that the three of us, Nick, Steve, and I, we don't get paid for this, folks. We're here every Saturday answering your questions. We don't get a cent. We try to help WXXI to put on this program so you folks can gain knowledge. So if we're willing to spend and give up our Saturdays, why don't you give up a few bucks to keep us going?
And we're not talking about a lot of money here.
No.
Particularly in the greater scheme of the stuff you've got laying around your house play with every week.
And there are thank you gifts you can ask for so that when you have that WXXI coffee mug or T-shirt down there by the coffee machine, people will know that you are cool.
But I noticed you're using a Star Trek mug.
I'm using my Starfleet Standard Issue coffee mug. That's right. Now back to the show.
We are back. Soundbites, WXXI 1370, WEOS-FM 89.7. We go to the phones at 263-WXXI. Good afternoon. You're on the air on the bite.
How are you today?
We're doing great.
Jerry in Rochester.
Hi, Jerry.
I'm trying to switch keyboards while the computer is on and it screams at me.
Yeah.
Got it.
Can do that.
There are instances in when you can fry your motherboard.
Yeah. Like I was just talking to the previous caller. On some proprietary motherboards, if you unhook that keyboard and try to hook up another one, it blows a little fuse on it. So that when you do turn off the machine, plug in the new keyboard, all of a sudden you come up with a 301 error.
especially if you're using a bus mouse or a bus keyboard like all Macintoshes do. Right. There is power running along that bus, and if you don't make an extremely clean disconnect very fast, you can have an arc jump between the pins and actually blow the chips on the motherboard.
Yeah, do not just shut it down.
Yes, it's not worth the time and effort. I mean, you might be in a hurry just to quick do it, the quick, simple, painless thing, but it can be very painful when that thing doesn't boot back up and you're trying to get work done.
Do you realize of all the time I've listened to XXI, this is the first time you haven't been able to help me? How do you feel about that?
That we haven't been able to help
every other time you solved every problem I've ever heard about.
We would be glad to make that. We'd be glad to help you again. Just call up and pledge.
I'm also a dibble, and I will match that pledge.
Okay, all right.
Go for it. You know what a dibble is? It's the only name that you know of that's in the dictionary. It's
is
a simple tool.
Cool.
No what kidding. You know?
Yeah, dibble. But they use them to poke holes in the ground to plant seeds.
Oh, cool.
I know.
And you got to assume that all dibbles are related because nobody would voluntarily take the name. Have a nice day, gentlemen. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Oh, what the dibble. Let's take another call right now at 26.